This episode of Clearview Today is brought to you by Le Bleu Ultra Pure Water. David, how many bottles of water do you think you drink a day?
Well, actually, I only drink Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew, Strawberry Yoo-Hoo, and the occasional Pepto-Bismol.
Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew? Do they even make that anymore?
Fun fact, no. I have to make my own with McDonald's Sprite, and you guessed it, Texas Pete.
I am genuinely horrified to hear that.
Me too.
You know, unlike other bottled waters, Le Bleu water only has two ingredients, hydrogen and oxygen. Nothing more, nothing less. Le Bleu's award-winning ultra-pure water is the result of their patent-pending five steps beyond Mother Nature process, which eliminates the inorganic materials and creates uniquely pure water, free of contaminants and perfectly balanced and fresh tasting.
And Le Bleu produces only the highest quality, ultra-pure bottled water on the market. You can get them in 1 liter, 1.5 liters, 12 ounces, 20 ounces, or even in the 3 to 5 gallon water coolers. And best of all, Le Bleu Central conveniently delivers this pure refreshment right to your home or office.
That's right. Le Bleu delivers our water coolers right here to Clearview Church every single month like clockwork. And it's not just water. Le Bleu supplies the finest gourmet coffees, teas, and hot chocolates to accommodate every preference in your office. I'm talking Green Mountain, Starbucks, Krispy Kreme, Donut Shop. So whether you're looking for the perfect brew for yourself or for your workplace, Le Bleu has got you covered.
You can visit their website today at MyLeBleu, that's MyLeBleu.com, and use promo code TODAY, that's TODAY, for a 10% discount at checkout. Every single purchase you make using that promo code helps us here at the Clearview Today Show and gets you one step closer to the purest, most refreshing water you've ever tasted.
Thank you to Le Bleu for sponsoring this episode. Now let's start the show.
Where's my Mountain Dew?
You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
You can find us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text, 252-582-5028. Or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right, and you guys can help us keep the conversation moving forward by supporting the show. You can share it online. Leave us a good 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify. Absolutely nothing less than 5 stars. We're going to leave some links right here in that old description box so you can do just that.
The verse of the day today is coming to you from Genesis chapter 8, verse 21. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done.
That's right. I think what's so beautiful about this is God makes this commitment to humanity while also at the same time acknowledging that human nature has not changed. The flood has not changed human nature. The flood has not changed the fact that there's sin in this world. Human beings are going to continue to harbor evil intentions. It says even from their youth and all throughout their lives. And God knows this, and still he commits never to destroy the earth in this way again. He still promises to never commit the flood again. And I think that's such a beautiful picture of his love and his mercy.
Also, don't underestimate the power of the smell of a good barbecue.
That's true. Yeah, that's true, man.
This is Noah sacrificing an animal. Obviously, I know that's not what's happening, but it says soothing aroma to God because of Noah's faithfulness, because of his, his repentance on behalf of his family, on behalf of humanity. He offers that sacrifice to God, and that sacrifice is a soothing aroma. Now, we're not butchering animals to God on Sundays, but our sacrifice to God.
But you can, if you want to, you can.
Well, maybe not.
No, don't do that. I'm just joking.
But our sacrifice is that of our lives, is of living in obedience. That is the soothing aroma. That's the pleasing aroma to God of the sacrifice of the Christian life.
That's right. That's right. I'm going to do something, Ryan, that we have truly never done on this show before.
Oh.
$2 million in one week? You gotta be kidding me. I am a double millionaire. You are a rich man.
Wow.
This was submitted by our engineer, David Williamson, and I'm going to read it for you because I thought it was so good. I truly just did not want to wait till next week. I thought this was one of the most perfect ones we have ever had because it's so simple, and yet the thought of it fills me with so much dread. You get $1 million, but anytime you make a purchase, an alarm sounds throughout the entire store, throughout the entire building, throughout the entire venue, wherever you're at, like a klaxon. And it just screams insufficient funds, insufficient funds. The purchase still goes through. You have no problem making the purchase, but everybody's attention is drawn towards you. It's like Inception in the most non-subtle way.
That is such a horrifying prospect.
I know.
The purchase still goes through?
The purchase goes through, no problem. You're a millionaire. But I mean, it's like lockdown, and it just straight red lights flashing.
How long does it last?
Until you leave the store.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, however long a normal checkout.
I hate that, but I'd probably do it.
From checkout, like from a successful like card swipe to you walking out is maybe 60 seconds.
Maybe, unless there's other people 90. With me in the store, like I'm buying something and then I'm waiting for other people.
Yeah, true.
If that's the case, though, I probably just buy and flee.
And flee, yeah.
I would probably take it. Really? I'd hate it, but I'd probably take it.
See, I don't think I would take it.
Really?
Maybe I would. I don't know.
I mean, you could play it off like, oh, there must be a problem with the system. Like my purchase went through. I don't know.
But this is, I don't even like this when it's private. Like when someone's like, oh,
I know, I hate it.
The card didn't go through. I'll be like, I tell you what, this is something I've done. They'll be like, I tell you what, give me 1 second. Let me go to my car. Let me get my wallet. I've got some cash in there. I go to my car, drive away. I drive away.
You know,
I disengage
instantly. You know the crazy thing?
What's that?
They know. The cashiers know.
They know exactly what's about to happen.
As soon as you say, let me go to my car, they know that.
This guy wants to get out of here. I don't know what it is. I just don't know what it is. But
it's embarrassing.
It really is.
Yeah.
And I mean, think about that. Like, what's
I think
the,
I would rather trip and fall in front of a room full of people
than someone tell you
insufficient funds.
Yeah, that's bad. Would you do it, David? He wouldn't do it either. I wouldn't do it.
I would hate it, but I think I would take it.
Wow,
I think
crazy.
I would take it.
That's
I think I just power through.
Let's ask Dr. Shaw because my opinion may change after I hear what he says. But I think I would not take the money.
I think I would also take the spousal workaround, like just make my wife make the purchases.
Oh, it's the same account. It'll happen to her.
Oh, okay. All right.
If she drafts from that account, it'll happen to her.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yikes. Rhett didn't let us know if you would take that or if that is literally the worst thing you can imagine.
But you could. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
You could set up separate bank accounts.
Well, that or you could just be like, hey, I don't care if it happens to her.
Well, I don't want that to happen to her either.
Well, she probably won't care as much. You think she'll care?
I don't know. She'd probably care more than I would.
All right.
252-582-5028 or visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. We'll be back after this.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, John.
Hey, man. I'm having an awesome time doing the Clearview Today Show with you.
Thanks, man. And I hope people are having an awesome time listening to it.
Well, listen, I think our listeners would actually be interested to know that Clearview Today is not the only podcast we produce.
Do go on.
Oh, well, go ahead and stop what you're doing right now. Mosey on over to your podcast app and subscribe to Sermons by Abaddon Shah, PhD.
As many of you know, Dr. Shah is our lead pastor here at Clearview Church. And every single week, he preaches expository messages that challenge and inspire us to live godly lives. One of our core values at Clearview Church is that we're a Bible-believing church, which means that every single sermon is coming directly from the text.
And it's great because whether you're driving, cleaning the house, working out, whatever you're doing, you're listening and receiving timeless biblical truths.
And God works through every sermon differently, which means you're always going to get something new. Sometimes it'll be conviction, sometimes it'll be encouragement.
That's right, and you guys can check out Sermons by Abaddon Shah, PhD, on the Apple Podcast app. You can find it on our website as well. That's clearviewbc.org. You can even read the transcripts of every message on Dr. Shah's website. That's abaddonshah.com.
Love it. John, you ready to hop back in?
Let's do it.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abaddon Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028.
That's right, and we're here once again in the Clearview Today studio with Dr. Abaddon Shah, who's a PhD in New Testament textual criticism. Dr. Shah, I know it's hard to believe, but there's actually another $1 million question, 2 in 1 week, which is very odd for us. But this one was sent in by David L. from right here in North Carolina.
David L.
Okay. Oh, we didn't ask this in the beginning. What do you think the L stands for?
What immediately jumped to my mind was Limburger.
David Limburger.
Like cheese.
Right. Wants to know, what was it? I've done forgotten. $1 million, but anytime you make a purchase, it will go through. You won't have any problems actually buying what you need to buy. But a loud alarm sounds in the store. Insufficient funds. Like just everything comes to a dead. It's like red lights, klaxons, sirens, everything. Yeah. But your purchase goes through fine. You can get your stuff and walk out. It's just everything comes to a stop. Everyone's like, what?
Yeah.
And but then would you do it? No,
well, it happened to us in England. No. We were, I don't know what we were doing. We were checking out somewhere. And sure enough, It was not no alarm went off and nobody shouted on the PA on the system, but it was like, oh, we're sorry. It's this, it's not working. I don't know what's going on. I'm like,
at least it's better than what they do here. Give
Nicole the look. I'm like, and she's like, I don't think so. I think everything is fine.
Oh, shit.
And then we tried another car and it worked fine. Then we went to another place and tried the same car. It was fine.
Weird.
See, Nicole, I will give Nicole this. She is a little combative in public, but she's typically right. Like I've been places with Nicole where like she was taking a long time and I was like, hey, Nicole, we need to hurry up. And she was like, I don't care about none of these people here. I'll take my time. I was like, yo, shh. That was years and years ago. But at least they were polite. They're like, oh, sir, I think something might be wrong. Because here in the States, they'd be like, sir, it ain't go through.
Ain't no money on this card.
Ain't no money
on this card.
If you need to step aside and get your stuff ready, you can come on back in line. I'm like, golly, y'all people.
Please don't blare that over the loudspeaker. Yeah. It's embarrassing enough. Please don't make a store-wide announcement.
Customers of Walmart, we got somebody with insufficient funds up here.
This fella ain't got no money.
So, $1 million, would you take the money?
I'll do it.
You do it?
Yeah. I mean, $1 million?
Yeah, $1 million.
Yeah, go ahead
and you
shout it out.
You have no problem getting your stuff. People can see you pay for it and walk out.
Yeah.
But the klaxons, the alarms, I mean, it's a big production.
Shout it from the ramparts.
I would also take the money.
That is too funny.
Yep.
Well, you know, it's funny that you talk about money today because we are talking about cost. However, it's not financial.
Someone would say before, if someone had saw, I'm going to try to jump in here, but I may fail. Okay. Someone would say if they saw Dr. Shaw go up there and it's blasted insufficient funds, someone should have said, you know what? You should have counted the cost before you got up to the register. That's what they would say.
They'd be wrong, man.
They'd be dead wrong.
Good grief.
Sorry.
Watch.
You got
so animated.
The
so
thought
fast.
Of someone disrespecting Dr. Shaw, even in my fantasy, it made me kind of
just
angry.
Your blood pressure just whoo.
I got a little spittle.
Drink a little water.
You go for it.
Take a little break.
You go for it.
So we're talking about counting the cost today, but counting the cost of following Christ. What does that mean? We talked about that yesterday, began that conversation. But there's so much to deal with there. There's so much to unpack when it comes to salvation, when it comes to the Christian life, especially in terms of discipleship.
Yeah. We brought in a term called lordship salvation. This was a big debate. This was a big debate that took place about almost 30 years ago. It was between John MacArthur on one side. I think it was Zane Hodges. I think it was on the other side. Mm. And they were talking about lordship salvation. So John MacArthur's view, this is where the gospel according to Jesus, the gospel according to the apostles comes from. And Zane Hodges wrote his book. I forgot what it was called, but something about grace.
Mm. I can find it.
They were saying, the Zane Hodges side was saying, listen, salvation is by grace through faith. Don't add anything to it. You don't have to clean up your life in order to come to Jesus. And I don't think technically MacArthur would say you have to clean up your life, but he was saying you need to give up everything in order to be saved. Mm. And the other side is saying, no, if you have to give up everything on your own, then why do you need salvation? Mm. Salvation is the process of regeneration where you're born again, your heart is renewed, your mind is transformed, and now the giving up process begins.
Right.
What you should be willing to do, and that's a little something I brought out, is that you should be willing. Mm-hmm. If a person is trying to get saved and they're not willing, it's like, I'm going to come to Jesus, but I'm not giving up anything.
Mm. Mm, true.
I would tell them, go back and rethink this.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not telling you to put your habits down. I'm not telling you to now talk like you have been living in a Christian monastery for decades. You know, you're just a very loving, sweet, you know, person who doesn't ever say a foul word. What I'm saying is you should be willing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But if you already drawn the line and said, I'm not changing, I've had people do that.
Really?
You brought this out really well yesterday when you talked about the difference between counting the cost and paying the cost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We don't pay the cost for salvation. That's been done for us. Christ paid the cost for salvation. However, we do need to count the cost in that we are willing to surrender everything.
100%. We did a great show one time, and I'm going to try to find it and link it in the description, but a lot of times people think that the cost of discipleship, the cost of the Christian life is I have to give up all my sin. I have to give up all the bad things in life, but I can keep all the good things. But a lot of times Jesus has said, and I think it was in Matthew. I'll try to find that episode. It was a great episode. But he said that you might have to give up some of the good things in life.
Yeah.
You might have to give up a relationship with your family. You might have to give up some wealth.
Yeah.
You know, you might have to give up things that actually bring you joy and things that are actually good.
Objectively absolutely good. Absolutely. Yeah. Discipleship comes after evangelism. Mm-hmm. Not before evangelism. So when people are saying, you know, you got to do this, and it also has a misguided understanding of repentance. Mm-hmm. What people think is repentance means I need to have a change of heart. I need to feel sorry for my sins. I need to weep over my sins.
Right.
No. Repentance, metanoia, is simply a change of mind. Mm-hmm. What I thought about sin, salvation, and Savior. Mm-hmm. Those are the three things where I need a change of mind. I'm sorry, sin, self, and Savior. Sin. Sin is horrible. Sin is filthy. Sin goes diametrically opposed to the holiness of God. Previously, sin was fun. Mm-hmm. Sin was okay. Sin was just me being me. Sin is just like, it's not hurting anybody. Mm-hmm. Now sin is terrible. Self. Previously, self was at the center of life. Self was sitting on the throne of life. Now self is needs to be redeemed. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Self needs to be cleansed. Self needs to be forgiven. I may be a good tax-paying citizen or good little boy or good little girl, but in the eyes of God, I'm a sinner.
Right.
And I need to be saved. My good works are nothing. Mm. Savior. Previously, I didn't feel like I needed a savior. Why do I need to be saved? Mm. Saved from what? But now I realize I need help.
Right.
I need to be saved. My good works mean nothing. So repentance is a change of mind regarding sin, self, Savior. It's not a change of life. Mm-hmm. So when I walk forward and I stand or kneel and with a pastor or Sunday school teacher or a youth pastor, and I'm crying over there, people think, now that's repentance. Right there is repentance. Mm-hmm. Well, some people may cry because of a tough life.
Right.
Or bad decisions. Or they just have that kind of a constitution. They cry. Mm-hmm. They get emotional over such matters. Mm-hmm. But that does not mean that is the evidence of true salvation.
Right.
Exactly.
100%. The tears may be evidence that there are some emotions there that need to be dealt with, and maybe the emotions are valid, mm-hmm. but it's not that there's anything holy or spiritual or even truthful in the tears.
Right. 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 So, yeah. So we want to cover these sort of side issues because they are also connected to this whole counting the cost of salvation
right.
topic.
Right. Mm-hmm. 100%.
So going back to Jesus's encounter with this young man who said, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus did not immediately lead him into the sinner's prayer. And we discussed the sinner's prayer last time. Mm-hmm. Instead, he challenged him back and said, why do you call me good? No one is good except but God. Mm-hmm. And then in verse 19, Jesus then gives him the commandments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother. And he answered, this young man answered and said, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth.
It makes me giggle. It makes me chuckle that Jesus says, why do you call me good? No one is good except God. Well, Jesus is God.
Right.
Right.
So 100%. He's trying to like,
tell him,
lead him where he needs to go. Yeah. Like I'm God. I'm the one you need to be turning
right.
to. And then the dude follows it up in verse 20 with, "Teacher, I've kept all these things from my youth." Yeah. Like you didn't get
well, it's
it.
So interesting you missed that he, it. It's so interesting that he says that because in today's verse of the day, we talked about how from Genesis, God said that he says, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. And so here we see this kind of dichotomy where he's saying, even since my youth, I've been good. I've been right, following all right. the ways. And it's such an interesting way of seeing. I just thought about that. We did that in the intro. It's so interesting to see how we see ourselves, like you just were talking about, and how God actually sees
right.
us.
And Paul declares it unequivocally in Galatians 2:21. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Mm-hmm. So what Jesus was doing was giving him righteousness through the law? Of course not.
So was it just Jesus talking about, like, he's just trying to get him to see how hopeless things are? Like, he's saying these are all the works of the law and there's no way you can actually accomplish them?
I mean, I would say there's nothing in the context that tells us that Jesus or the young man acknowledged that, keeping the law is just hopeless and it's empty. I don't think that's what he was saying. And some other people have also argued that Jesus was trying to get him to reject his works righteousness. But I don't think that's what Jesus did here, because listen in verse 21. Then Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said to him, "One thing you do lack. Go your way. Sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me."
Yeah, that's a good point. He's adding more works to it. He's saying you have to go do something.
Yeah, so when people say, it's like, see, he was telling him, keeping commandments doesn't get... No, wait, he actually said, go sell what you have and give to the poor.
Yeah. Right.
He added another one on top of that. So really, if you stick to the text, it's not what most of our sermons propose.
Right.
So why did Jesus bring up the Ten Commandments? Why did he tell him to sell everything and take up his cross and follow him? You see, the young man knew that eternal life was not in keeping the law, but he was looking for an eternal life that was cheap and easy.
Mm.
Yeah, would he have come? That's a good point. Would he have come to, if he was already following the law, would he have even come to Jesus? If he knew that, like, hey, eternal life is through the law, what would be the point in coming to Jesus?
Right. He knew that eternal life was not in keeping the law, but he was looking for eternal life that was cheap and easy, somehow just the stamp of salvation, and still carry on my old lifestyle.
Mm.
And he wanted to get his certificate of the kingdom and still not obey the king.
Mm.
And Jesus, being fully God, fully man, he knew his heart and what he was saying to him, and he was saying to him that, yes, I will pay for your salvation. It's free to you, but following me will never be cheap and easy.
That's a good point. Mm. Yeah.
There will be a cost to discipleship.
Yeah.
So you want to be saved? Count the cost for the discipleship that will follow, not count the cost in order to be saved.
That's a good point. And I think that's something, and maybe I don't want to speak for every single person, but I know for me, I got saved at 15 and the thought of living the Christian life was not on my mind at all.
Right.
You know, it was, I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. I want to know Jesus and I want to be a Christian. But then there was never any follow up like, now, you know, this involves living. You have a whole rest of your life to live, another 60, 70 years ahead of you that this is going to take up be your life.
That's right.
That wasn't there for me.
Yeah. Right. So I think in our gospel presentations, whether one-on-one, I think David had an encounter. Do you want to talk about the encounter that you had? I think Monday you were talking to somebody at the hair salon about this.
Yeah, I forgot about that until you just said it. I was at a place in Wake Forest where I get my hair cut.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat in the chair, and it was a lady that I had before, and she just kind of was more talkative than last time, but she started like telling me her whole life story, like her whole background about how she's been through this and that, and she's got this going on in her life with her kids and with her relationships and stuff like that. And she was like, "So I'm looking for a church." And I was like, "Oh, well, I mean, yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, you should definitely find a church, plug in. If you're ever down in Henderson, come to our church, or, you know, but if not that, it's a good idea to find a church." She was like, "Yeah, when I was in church, I felt like I had things more together and I felt like I had more peace." And I was like, "Well, you know what? You know, Jesus says in his word, he says, 'Come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest.'"
Mm-hmm.
I didn't say it like that specifically because I didn't know if she would understand that completely. I just said, "Come to me, all you who have heavy burdens,
mm-hmm.
and I'll give you rest." And she was like, yeah, that's what I need, is some peace and some rest. And, kind of changed the subject. I don't know if she got uncomfortable, but I figured after saying that, I didn't want to continue pushing or pursuing, hoping that that would kind of weigh on her mind some. So yeah, that's what happened at the Lady Jane's.
That's awesome.
I mean, the reason I bring that up is because we should be clear on what we're trying to present to the lost person. What we're saying is, you know, come to him and just the way you are, and he will set you free.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there's an element of, hey, following Christ may be costly, but trust me, it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want us to understand from this conversation, because when you come one-on-one or you're preaching or teaching, help people to see that. count the cost.
That's right.
Count the cost. Does not mean that you have to pay the cost.
Mm-hmm.
Just count it.
Mm-hmm.
In time, you'll learn what it means to pay. So Jesus then kind of revealed the secret to following him to this young man. So it says in Mark chapter 10, verse 22, but this young man was sad at his word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions.
Every time I hear that verse, I always feel a little like drop in my heart. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know why, but it's just like, golly, I just watched somebody miss
away.
It.
Yeah.
Walked away from God. Jesus.
Walked away from eternal life.
Sometimes we think that if I can only really explain the gospel to somebody, if I can make it simple, if I can be as loving as possible, if I can just be as passionate, that person will respond. That's not always the case.
That's true. That's a hard pill to swallow.
It is. Yeah. Ew, it is.
Because the human heart is wicked.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, they have a choice. I believe that. Mm-hmm. We believe that human beings have choices. And why would one person choose Jesus Christ, another one reject him?
Have you ever put that on your own shoulders as a pastor? Or is it like when you're preaching from the pulpit? Like if I could just explain this right, or if I could get this sentence right, or get these words right, or structure this right, they'll respond.
Oh, yeah. I've done that. Yeah. I've done that. And it's sad because that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true. It's the evil of the human heart. Without the moving of the Holy Spirit, they cannot do that. And even there has to be not just a moving of the Holy Spirit, which is one-sided, there has to be cooperation with the moving of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. That's true.
So why do some people cooperate and some don't?
Yeah.
That's the big mystery.
Yeah.
True. True.
So this man walks away, and then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
And the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered again and said to them, children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, who then can be saved?
Mm.
Now, let me make one thing clear, because in yesteryears,
mm-hmm.
there were pastors or preachers or teachers who used to talk about the camel and this one gate in Jerusalem and how the camel had to bend down and all that. That's not true.
They were like trying to put some like historical imagery to it.
Illustration, yeah, no, not accurate.
It's an exaggeration where exactly the eye of the needle is a very small thing. Mm-hmm. Camel, of course, is huge with the hump on top. It cannot do it.
There was no like cryptic spiritual.
Some historical, geographical illumination there. There isn't. It's simply exactly what it says. The whole point is this. When you trust in your riches, and riches does not just have to be bank account. You can trust in your family.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in America, especially in the small town in which we live, people trust in their family.
Yes, mm-hmm. I agree.
They trust in people in their lives who will stand with them and who will fight for them and provide for them. And as long as they have that as a safety net, they don't need God.
Mm-hmm.
Their family, their friends are their safety net.
Yeah. Wow.
That's so, I think this is so relevant.
It is, 100%.
You meet those people who family is everything. Like, and I'm not saying, you know, disregard your family. Obviously, love your family. Be there for your family. But family is not your salvation.
No. But one thing I want to do point out here is when you read this account, there are three different expressions for salvation. Did you notice that?
I didn't.
Yeah, listen to one of the verses. It is, the young man asked him, what shall I do that I may inherit
eternal life.
So salvation is referred to as inheriting eternal life. Then there is another statement, which is Jesus himself said, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God.
Oh, I see what you're saying. The kingdom of God, eternal life. Okay. Yeah.
So it inheriting eternal life is the same as entering the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
But wait, there's one more. The disciples said, who then can be saved? So inheriting eternal life is the same as entering the kingdom of God, which is the same as being saved.
Mm-hmm.
So often in church, I will say, get saved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm jumping over to the third one, which in turn, what I'm saying is, don't you want to enter the kingdom of God?
Right.
Yeah. In turn, I'm saying, don't you want eternal life?
Mm-hmm.
Eternal life is not just heaven everlasting. Eternal life is heaven has begun now.
That's true.
And one day, the literal heavens and the earth will be made by God, mm-hmm. where you will live forever.
Yeah.
And serve him and enjoy the fellowship of God's people. So all those three expressions are referring to being saved. And then something I want to mention before we close, which is the response of Jesus to his disciples.
Yeah, because they're like, who can be saved?
And his response is in verse 27, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible.
Mm. Isn't it crazy how Jesus just always says the perfect thing?
Yeah.
Like just mic drop every single time.
It's almost like you saw it coming.
Yeah, that's true. I love it.
So great. So helpful for us too. And we want you to know here at the Clearview Today Show, we want to help you take those next steps in following God.
That's right.
In responding to the gospel, in being saved, all the things that we just talked about, and engaging in the process of discipleship. So if you have questions about what it means to walk with God or to ask Jesus into your heart or to, you know, have eternal life, write in and let us know. We'd love to help you in your faith journey. 252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Don't forget, you can partner with us financially on that same website, so the message of the gospel gets to as many people as possible. Lots of great content coming your way the rest of this week. Make sure you guys tune in. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.